This is Hawkside Guns Podcast. Hello and welcome. We are back for round two of Hawkside Guns Podcast. And this cast is going to be a little bit on the boring side, and not to put too fine a point on it. It's going to be largely over safety. Firearm safety is something that is largely, I mean, it's important, but it's the part about guns nobody ever really wants to pay attention to. They want to get to shooting. They want to get to whatever. Doesn't matter. Adult, child, children are a little worse about it, but adult, children, all that kind of thing. They're like, yeah, I got it. Let's get to the shooting.
And we have seen adults do really stupid things with a firearm.
Oh yeah. Well, I was at the range the other day. And me and a group of friends, and I won't name anybody, but we're in there, and they had the range sanctioned off. It was downtown. It was in an urban environment, but it was a contained range, and we were shooting long guns, right? And I have never seen, and it was two guys that normally don't go with us, and I have never seen full grown adults not check the chamber as much as these guys did. And they wound up firing one into the ceiling.
Yeah, it can get kind of nasty, but the subject itself is dry, and we do have some concerns.
Not the way I tell it.
Not the way he tells it. Yeah, we'll get to the way he tells it in a little bit. But there are some instant concerns when you talk about firearms that people really move to and need to address. And one of those is a safe house with children. It becomes a little different when you're out doing things with the child and the young adult or the young adult and they're being directly supervised or observed. That's not really the time of your greatest concern. It's when they're not being watched and not observed, and it doesn't really matter, girl or boy, curiosity can get the better of you. And there's some things that we've grown up around, both him, because I instituted them, and myself, because my father instituted them, that help with pieces of that. Nobody can guarantee anything. But there are some interesting products on the market that now help with some of that, depending on what you like to keep. If you do keep a personal defense weapon near you and separated from all the other stuff. So safety, where would you like to start?
Well, I was figuring where to keep it first, because that's probably one of the hot topics, because a lot of people, especially in a home defense situation, which is what a lot of folks say they have a gun. Like I would say a large percentage say they have a weapon in their house for home defense.
And we're going to suggest that without a percentage point, some majority of that is probably a handgun.
I would suggest that's probably an accurate statement. And there's a bunch of I mean, there's products on the market. There's a lot of points of view. My favorite, and you'll hear me refer to these guys is you know, the polo shirt crowd, right? It's the muscle-y'd dudes with big biceps, and they've got the polo things that are just painted on them. Got a little logo on their chest. Normally, it says tactical somewhere. And they like to point with their entire hand, like a blade hand a lot. Okay? And they say okay a lot. Okay? Okay? And they point at you in the camera and all that stuff with a blade hand. They love to tell you about, this is what you need.
And it's what you need to do what?
Yeah, really, exactly. What are you doing?
They tend to have a little larger caliber, larger capacity weapons.
What you need is this 50
doesn't mean there's not a need for those, or even they're not enjoyable. But it does mean that you know, again, we're going to drift back into what's your purpose? What do you really need for that purpose, and what's appropriate for your environment?
I need a 50 caliber because I want to shoot a burglar behind my neighbor's refrigerator.
So it gets it does get a little tense as far as conversations go, as people believe they need different things, whether they're familiar with what is there really a thing as stopping power, or if you watch a round go through several layers of plasterboard, you realize if there was anybody behind those walls
or in a neighbor's house,
you could have some problems.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a ballistics argument for urban environments versus something a little bit more rural. The selection of caliber, and you're right about this, the selection of caliber, even in handguns, is huge, and they do different things, as well as the type of ammunition you can put in them. So, I mean, there's such a range, and there's so many things out there now that you really have to understand, and we're not going to go into all of that, because it's just a huge topic. We would be talking for 10 hours and probably only touch a piece of it.
Let's start with a house that has children in it, regardless of age.
I have that, and so did you.
I did indeed. And one of the first things that we'd like to suggest is going to be a little different than perhaps what you were expecting. You need to work with the child and teach the child what the weapon is. And the best way to do that is to let them help you clean the weapon, let them hold it. You're fighting a couple of tides here, and one of those big tides is curiosity. And if they're not allowed to touch it, they don't know what it feels like. They don't know what it smells like. They don't know what it does.
They will crawl over broken glass to get that which they cannot have. Yeah,
I did. So, and some of you may have had the same experience. You know, there's nothing more tantalizing than dad's guns.
Or whoever's it is.
Yeah. Oh, whoever. In my case, it was my father's. My mother was like his mother and could outshoot his father in some cases, like my wife can outshoot me with a rifle.
God, you don't want to get in front of mom with a rifle.
It just can get, you know, so I have guns that I give her that are bent and things like that to try and level the
this is good.
Field.
I like it. It's mine now.
Yeah. Her favorite weapon used to be a German World War II Mauser that was converted. So she likes a little bit of push to her fire.
God help you if she starts getting out that stupid wireframe 22 thing that she's
got terrible sights, and she could hit anything with it.
Yeah, that's where.
However,
we'll go back to
children. And one of the things we'd like to suggest is that you introduce young people, regardless of age, believe it or not, when they're old enough to understand, and that varies for boys versus girls. But when they start asking questions, you need to answer those questions. And to help you do that, we suggest that you let those children help you clean the gun, put the gun in a case, know where the weapon is stored, but significantly store the ammunition in a different place than you're storing the firearm. 'Cause they're not necessarily going to go hunting for the ammunition if they've already gotten to the cotton candy. If they're already touching the gun, they know where it is, they know what it does, they know not to point it. There are things that you've drilled in them from the beginning. But really what I'm suggesting is the first two steps is education. Let them see it. Take some of the mystery out of it. Second is more of a common sense item. Split up the ammunition from the firearm and in a place that may be a little more secure.
Well, that's not bad. It seemed to work for you. I will also add that as a kid, and I know times are a little different than they were. I mean, I'm of an age, I'm Gen X, and I grew up in an analog world, and I grew into a digital one. So things are a little bit different from where I am and where I came from. But when I was a kid, Buona had done all of those things. That is absolutely true. But the other thing he did is give me guns that I could have, right? So I had any play gun or toy gun that I wanted, he made sure I had. So I had something, you know, to take. Now, I was a boy, and I'm not saying that boys and girls aren't.
At least that's what we think now.
Yeah, yeah. I've done several tests. I was a typical boy in the 70s and 80s who grew up, and I wanted toy guns and stuff like that. But Bun is absolutely correct. Even at the age of, I think, five and a little bit before that, I'm sure. I remember the lessons when I was five. I got the BB gun when I was five. Now, I couldn't touch it. I couldn't play with it. I couldn't even keep it in my room until I was several years older. But I quote unquote had one, right?
It was his, basically.
Right. It was mine, but it needed, you know, in order for me to touch it, put BBs in it or anything like that, he or my mother had to be there with me, or even handle it. But I got a lot of toy guns that took some of the edge off of it. I know for boys make a gun out of anything, Legos, you know, anything, half eaten sandwich. They don't care. You know, it's always a gun. But I knew the difference, and that's the education part. I always knew the difference. That's real. My girls, who are, you know, I've got a grade school one and one who is not yet started school, about to, I guess, in a couple months, but they are fascinated by them. And one of the biggest things I do, now I do a lot of I like to play with, changing guns or repairing them or refinishing is a favorite of mine, and just we have made kind of a side hobby of buying shitty guns and making them look better.
They're not shitty. They're just not necessarily well cared for.
Well, yeah, they're in not great shape, and when we get done with them, they look fantastic. So, or at least a lot better.
We'll drift back to where we need to be.
We'll come back there. But anyway, I have disassembled guns on the table, and at first they were very, very good about waiting until I got the barrels off or got them apart before they'd even approach. Now, can we help you? Where's the cleaner? I want the cleaner. Or is that I'll go get the brushes. You know, I mean, they know the process. They know that they are, and they know that they can help. They know that they can do things. So I've never had a problem. I've got guns in various states of disassembly that could not be fired even if you, I mean, knew how to put them back together. There's no ammo for them in the house, or it's locked up, as Bona has done. There's a level of education, and it's very true that the more taboo it is, the more they're going to want it.
And consistency is another piece.
Oh, yeah.
It is incredibly important that you're consistent. It doesn't matter whether a friend is with you or whether a parent or no one. It really doesn't matter. If you're with that young adult or that child and we're doing activities with firearms, it is positively essential that everybody knows we're going to talk about safety. Is the gun clear? Is everybody clear? How did you clear it? Do you know it? Where are you pointing it? Be aware of where that muzzle is. So it really doesn't matter. If we find people who are uncomfortable with that, we normally don't shoot with them.
It's true. Yeah.
I don't wish to. So just as a gun that's a firearm that's not loaded, it's not your home defense gun, safety starts with actually the first thing that I recommend you do with a firearm, whether it's new or old, which is take apart and clean it. And when Sean and I come back from a gun show, if we have a new gun, those girls are right there. And they expect the weapon to be broken down and cleaned. And they want to see it and touch it and find out why we got it and what it is and whether they think they'd like it or not. The key here is you have to understand what it does, what it looks like. Taking it down and cleaning it normally provides that function.
Yeah, they can see it, they can see what it does, and
just stay consistent with it. Do it all the time. Period. Yeah.
And that takes a lot of the sting out of it, as far as children go. Now, the the next thing you say, the next thing you go with, and that you mentioned gun shows brings it right into it, is storage, right? Storage and transport. There is kind of a multitude of products and philosophies for transporting, storing, and carrying a gun. Now, we won't get into the carrying on anything, but at least not yet. But even transporting a gun, right? You take a gun to a show and or somewhere else or even a gun shop if you're going to take it to a gunsmith or something like that. Let's say you're taking your handgun or your personal hand carry thing. I guarantee you they'll kick you out of the shop if you bring your gun in a holster on a belt and draw it, even to put it on the damn table. You're not going to be in that establishment long. They don't know what you're doing.
To be able to clear the weapon and show that the weapon is clear
right.
Before you approach them with it.
I normally bring it in a case.
Yeah,
personally.
And,
it's the best way.
Let them open the case with you. But all anybody is normally looking for is the fact that the weapon is truly not loaded. There are so many people that are shot with weapons that were not loaded, that the hospitals and the police just go, yeah, you were shot with a gun that wasn't loaded. Sure.
Sure you were. Yeah. It's so much of it is just human error. You know, it's, man, I swore it was unloaded. Well, of course you swore it was unloaded. You know, you didn't mean to do that, but that doesn't mean you weren't stupid. So, and, you know, it happens, right? You put it in the closet 6 months ago or a gun cabinet, a safe, whatever it is, and you thought it was unloaded and you didn't check it. And it happens. It happens all the time. And we even see it at shows. There's been a couple times where, you know, somebody's brought a gun, and as they bring it in, you know, the cop will, you know, they always have the police at the front table. No, no, it's not loaded. And he'll pop the slide or pop whatever, and a bullet will plunk right out. Holy crap. You know, I didn't know that was in there. You know, well, obviously, dumbass. You know, and it, you know, they'll wire it up.
But that's what they're there for, to
go through
that
process. Right. Yeah. Now, it doesn't help a vendor that does it. I think we had at least a rumor that somebody had popped one off, a vendor popped one off at a gun show before it started here pretty recently. But there's just a lot of common sense things that can go on before you handle it, before you put it up, and for God's sake, get a case, get a... You know, get something lockable. Like for years, my wife has been in law enforcement and security for, well, the entire time I've known her, over 20 years. And there was a time when she was carrying in service. She was a federal law enforcement officer, and we didn't even have kids, and we still had she carried a Glock, and it was always in its case, and that case got its lock on it every night, you know. We had another weapon for home defense and everything, but it was a service weapon, and you know it got a reinforced case with a big lock on it, and that's how she transported it back and forth. So, be safe.
And that true is really the truth of the scenarios that we're talking about. You know, it is a matter of consciously doing it now. Do it now. Clear it. Know it's cleared. Don't just assume when you grab it that you did it the last time. Check it. Do it now. Before you either hand it to somebody or you know, move it around. Just make sure it's clear. It's not the kind of rule that you'd use if you were dealing with a self-defense weapon that you used for protecting your home. Now you're into a different realm. Now you need to decide whether you're going to store ammunition in the weapon or on the weapon or near the weapon or separate it. The solution I like is really a Bluetooth solution. They've now come up with the ability for you to slide a Bluetooth device into the chamber of a weapon. And if that weapon is moved, it will alert your phone. That to me is really comforting thing to have, because once you explain it to somebody, especially someone in their teens, they're going to understand that. And
oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
that to me is important. Let's keep everybody away from something that really can create a problem. And I really have enjoyed and appreciated some of the solutions that people have come up with. Some of them, not so much. Palm prints and palm guns, where you need to have a ring or you need to validate your fingerprint. Sometimes, as far as I'm concerned, that's not, it's a solution, and it may be a solution for you in your home, but it's not a solution for me. I need to be able to access a weapon and have it usable in a very short period of time. I'm not a fanatic about it, but I do like a reliable weapon in my hand in a reasonable amount of time if I believe I need to use it for home defense.
Yeah, there's and it depends greatly. There's a wide variety of weapons that you can be using, anywhere from pistols to shotguns. There's rifles. There's all kinds of things. So, where you keep it and what you do. Do you store rounds in it? Do you put one in the pipe? Do you not put one in the pipe? There's all these things, and different solutions are going to work for different people. If you live alone by yourself in the woods, the answer is going to be different than is if you live in an apartment, or in the suburbs or out in the country, but there's no children around, or, you know, there's all kinds of answers, and there's all kinds of weapons, and there's all kinds of different solutions. A lot of them are viable, but you have to do your research and find out what's best for you. Now, there's tons of videos out there that'll tell you what you need, and what you need is to think about where you are, who else you have in the house. Who else you have in the house next door, all those kinds of things, and then figure out what your solution is, what's your weapon, what you're loading in it, where are you keeping that, where are you keeping all the rest of the paraphernalia of that weapon system.
But don't keep it a secret, okay? Try and take some of the curiosity out of it. It's gonna happen. There are things that they're going to touch things, and they're going to touch them when you don't want them to touch them. But you need to understand that curiosity is strong. And if you did it as a child, it's a little easier to understand, and it's a lot easier to keep your cool. And just let them know that, you know, this one you can, that one not so much.
It also is a lot different. I was talking with somebody here recently who they had never really been exposed to firearms in their family or anything like that. Their family was historically and emphatically anti-firearm. And they lived in a place that had gotten broken into and felt the need for one and were just freaked out about, oh, my God, I've brought this into the house with my kid, and I feel weird about it, you know, and it's... It is, and it's right to be concerned. It's right to be alert and aware. But if everybody's educated, and that's a big one, education and communication.
Yep, absolutely.
The biggest two things I think that are wrong with the situations that we see that happen time and time again. Oh, this will happen. You know, is education and communication. Those are the first two. The other one, and this is mostly overlooked, as supervision, right? And you know, with one minor incident aside, I had some pretty decent supervision.
It's from the first cast where he shot his brother with a BB rifle.
Well, that was a good one.
It was not a good one, and he was too old. Okay,
for was that 15.
Kind of crap to happen.
Oh, he was pissed. Oh, neither one of us saw any guns for like a year. But that's the kind of thing that needs to happen. It's that supervision thing in the just and metered punishment, right? And putting it in perspective and putting it, I mean, a lot of the things that
putting it in perspective, that means I didn't look for my son to shoot his brother while he was on the roof. I hardly ever scan the roof for shooters in my neighborhood, okay?
And that day you should have, that's all I'm saying.
Yes, that day I should have.
It was a great thing. But it was, I mean, honestly, it was stupid. But But it's stuff you learn, right? And it's a lot of the you know, kid found a gun in the backseat of the car. A kid found it, and there's a lot of stories about kid found a gun. Okay, anything with kid found a gun is going to be bad. All right, they weren't expecting it. They obviously didn't know it was there. What's the first thing the kid's going to do? Assume they can play with it. Communication, education, those are the big two, but also supervision. If they understand.
And consistency. Just do it. Make it safe. It takes time, but introduce them to it. Work with them. It's golden to you as far as a child.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't really disagree with that. But with that, I think that concludes the boringness and the dry parts of this particular show. Just be careful, educate,
and look,
watch what's happening, watch what you're doing, understand the decisions that you've made, do your research, and find what works for you. It will be different, I guarantee you, it will be different than the next guy or the person who's telling you, you should do this. No, you shouldn't. You should do what you need to do to keep you and your family safe, both from external and internal problems. So,
and that, just in closing, that does raise another point. You know, even without children, there are a lot of wives out there that are very unfamiliar and very uncomfortable with firearms. And if you're going to use this as a home defense round or a home defense gun or weapon.
God's sake, teach them how to use it.
Yeah, really. They may not want to. You can make it very pleasant. There's a lot of ranges that you can go to for different kinds of weapons. That
classes you can do.
They do. Young ladies do very well in classes. And get out of the way. you know, if you're... I'll just say it. If you're buying a weapon for your wife, she doesn't need the gun you want her to have. She needs the gun she wants and can use. So that's part of safety, too. Make sure it's not too big for them. But other than that, I don't have anything else.
Right on. Well, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. On behalf of Bona and I, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. If you're interested in more content like this or podcasts, check us out at hawkseyeguns.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.